welcome everybody, another episode of Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine. My name is John Kulis, I'm talk show host this every Saturday night and Saturday evening and Saturday day, depending on where you live. And Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine is to be listened on bbsradio.com and also on untoldmysteries.com as well. I just had to take a breath. I was running and take my coffee. Yes, I need some coffee also here. And the topic of today is brainstorming and thinking about predictions about 2008 and 2012. What can we expect? What scenarios are going to unfold? And what's going to the role of the Indigo people and the Crystal Children and gifted people around the planet? What are they going to do? Are they just sitting and watching, observing and doing nothing? Or is there maybe soon a change of behavior to be seen very fast? And is that worldwide, that Ritalin and Prozac, people taking chemicals to dummy us down and on purpose? That's a lot of people give to children whose diagnostic is ADHD, and if you ask them what it means, then they will say they cannot explain it really. So there are certain so-called experts that disagree to each other how to diagnose this, that you are ADHD and that you have a hypersensitive disorder, that you are very hyper, very active, and that you are not to be controlled. And they don't like that, of course, people not being controlled. So they give you chemicals to dumb us down. And what about all the people that didn't, took the drugs, the medical drugs? Maybe there is a reason for that the shadowy government is afraid of the gifted people around the planet. And I always wonder that, that gifted people who are very highly gifted and tentative, that they are being approached to work for them. And they will, get paid, but not all of them have to say yes. They can also say, nope, I don't want to work for you. I don't want to serve the fear-based mentality of the shadowy government, of the secret societies. And I know that, for instance, in the Netherlands, we have the foundation Mensa. And Mensa is it's not only about the psychic gifted people, but more like highly intelligent people who have an IQ over 138 plus. And nowadays it seems average 138, but they say if you have an IQ of 100, that's supposed to be the average of all people, and that will raise or go down or go up. But some people claim that if you have 138, that was a long time ago the average, but now it's, because of having us not better education and being using chemicals and having nobody well done mainstream media anymore, we have actually an IQ of an average person instead of thinking that we have a high IQ, but everything is related, of course. So when you talk about gifted people, I mean the gifted people are psychic gifted, who can do telekinesis, who can do and see the future, having visions, or having other paranormal gifted people. That's what I talk about. When you talk about Foundation Mensa, those are more for the people who are having more intelligent in calculations or in how to solve puzzles and other rational approaches. And then people talk about the emotional quotient, EQ, for those who are gifted in empathy and have a more social awareness or social intelligence. And then you have the people who have all of them. And I just wonder, what will happen to all those people in the world? I'm not talking about America, I'm talking about all people in the world. I talk about in China, I talk about in Australia, in Europe. And there are so many different people waking up. Are they going to rebel? Are they going to sit down doing nothing? Or are they saying enough is enough? And I wonder, some of them play a role, and you know, just want to fit in the program, but still inside of them, they actually don't want to live like that. You know, they're just saying, I'm doing this, but actually, that's not me. But I do it anyway, you know, to pay the bills or for whatever reason that people chooses to temporarily not give themselves permission to be 100% themselves. So they just want to fit in the program to pay the bills and to take care for your children and to take care for your family. But what if those people deep inside are actually very rebellious and that they are key people waiting to be triggered, to be say enough of this? And I think that is going to happen this year. It will start. I think that this year, 2007, will be a start of a major wave of awakening worldwide that will not say everything is okay, you know. I think there are enough signals right now. If you want to compare that with the signals that were in the early 30s, in that period, there were also signals that there's something bad going to happen or something going to change drastically, or there will be more and more abuse of power by the big government and big corporations who are controlling the government. Now, if that is the case in the 30s, if the signals are there, how many people are having the courage to speak out and to do something? I can remember a quote of Einstein, is that for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. It is a paraphrase, but it boils down to that. So evil can only do what they do if good people are, you know, seeing it, but don't act upon it, don't respond to it, just observe it and say, okay, it's happening. Like torture, for instance, what you see, that slowly torture must be accepted as a way or mean to get information from the prisons. People who are in prison without a proper, how do you say this, that you have a right of an attorney, that you know what you are, what the reason is that you are being taken, and that you can actually want to see some evidence that you have a right, that they have a right to take you, and there is no evidence. And so what kind of, without a warrant, they can search your house or your computers. That is the time that we're living in. So how many signals must be there to know that the abuse of power by government control, by big corporations, are doing this? How many signals do we need? When is enough? I wonder. I think the gifted people, the paranormal people worldwide, they know what is happening. They know that we, ultimately we will be chipped, microchipped, if we do nothing. So what I'm doing right now is I'm not predicting that I know that it is true. I only say let's go on to brainstorm what we know right now. And if you see all around it, all the signals, what is the end result of this, what you see happening in the face? You don't have to be psychic to see the future, you know, what is unfolding. You see the RFID chips, you see the more and more cameras, you see the intelligent cameras going to raising up, and then they have special programs that can actually analyze people, what they buy, how, you know, where they went, and they can make profiles on you, and they use the same knowledge to have an influence on, an impact on you. And the technologies to store data and to monitor people is going to be sophisticated, more sophisticated than you ever can imagine. The question is, what do they going to do with all that data? And people say they never can, have time to figure it out what to do. But then you have to realize they can look for keywords. They can actually design a program for instance, if you behave in a certain way and you move in a certain way, cameras can actually connected to a computer, and the computer can analyze the video images if a person is behaving towards to becoming violent, or to becoming rebellious or upset. And they also can have a face recognition software that they have a huge database, and that is already happening. It's not science fiction. So even if you're not implanted with a chip, they still can recognize your face, and that face will be compared in the database, and then they know who you are, where you are, what you're doing, and how you behave, and if you are upset or not, and how many times are you upset. So they make a dossier or a kind of a profile on you if you needed to be on the blacklist. Now, that blacklist are those who are potential rebels. Sometimes I talk Dutch because I'm from the Netherlands. So for those who hear me for the first time, I'm doing a live radio show from the Netherlands. And thanks to Donald Newsom, he calls me up. He will leave my phone. So that's the way what you hear right now. But imagine yourself that the power abuse is going to rise. And what could be the trigger that we have crossed the point of no return? Think about that question. When do we come to the point that we are coming across a point, across a line, that there is no way of going back again? Now, that could be that the dollar collapses, that the money is completely worthless. And because of this chaos, people need to be, as happened in the past, need to have some solutions. Now, one of the solutions is that people get microchipped. Another thing that could we have total chaos, that would be if a nuclear bomb will be used. I'm not saying who is going to use it, but it doesn't matter. Anyone on this planet who's using a nuclear bomb, that would make a precedent of a total new law system and total new and more power to the powers that be. And so what if that is true, what is the Indigo people, the crystal children, the gifted people, what are they going to do? Are they going to just observe and watch and that's it? And if your rights are taken away from you and your family, or certain people will be lost or will disappear, what would you do? Would you still say, okay, I sit on my couch, watch television, I will obey? I wonder what the gifted, paranormal gifted people on this planet, what are they going to do? You know, it is beautiful to be loving and kind, and you want to be nice to the people. That's beautiful. That's nice. That's wonderful energy. But what will you do if they take our rights away? If there's a chaos, or there's a total anarchy going on, or there's something, a total chaos? Do you think that the government will not abuse their powers? And say, yeah, we need to do this because it's better for you, it's better for security. And then in this temporary crisis, the so-called solutions will be offered. Now, again, it doesn't have enough signals that you could say to yourself, I could have known. Let's say it will happen within 2 years, that there's a total chaos on this planet. Then you have to ask yourself, could I foresee this? Could I predict this, that this is going to happen, that they create chaos on purpose, temporarily, to have a police state, and that people will be forced to think in a certain way, and that you're not allowed to express your true opinions anymore? That, you know, we take freedoms for granted, and freedom is never for free. You have to fight for it. And even if we have a so-called free freedom of the press and freedom, a free world or a free country, we still have self-censorship, that people don't want to lose their jobs, or and they're afraid of being labeled crazy or whatever. So even in a free society, we're not that free. And then the moment is there that we are living in a totalitarian system, in the police state, then you have the excuse, yeah, but I cannot use my freedom anymore because they take it away from me. But when you had it, you didn't use it anyway, so what's the point? You see what I mean? You were just observing how things unfold. And again, Einstein was mentioning, for evil to triumph is for good people doing nothing, only watching and observing, and that's it. They can only flourish if... I think there's a point that they want to test us. Maybe they're already doing it, testing us. how if they go away with it, you know, they go to the next step and to the next step and to the next step. So there will be a point that people will be tested for an even more terrible rights that that they take away from us. That they do that. I find that terrible that they do that. You know, take our rights away. And I wonder what the gifted people will do. I want to read in the chat what people are saying about what I'm saying. You know, and there's in the United Kingdom there are speaking cameras that will talk back if you are, and they can also register your behavior as well. And they do it for the so-called minor problems that you were doing. For instance, let's say that you have some small. I will see that it will talk to you in United Kingdom. It will say to you, "Hey, what are you doing there?" And it's not, I'm not joking. They are doing that. And the biggest industry, one of the biggest flourishing industry is prison camps. And more people are having a job to keep people in prison. And now it's interesting. When you are, let's say that you are against the system, against the government, and you have some, you are very critical to government, and they can set you up, and you are taken in prison, let's say for 2 years or 1 year. What they're going to do is they're going to force you to do labor very cheap. And you have to pay for your own soap. And if you work, you will, you know, do work in a prison camp. And that work will be not be paid in dollars, but maybe in cents. And you just, if you work, let's say, 8 hours a day, you just have earned enough money to pay for your own soap and to pay for your own things that normally it would be given to you in the past. But now it's a privilege to have soap, and you have to work for it. And that work what you do, that is what the big corporations are happy about, is cheap labor. So if you do some research, is the connection between the prison camp industry and the people who are working in it, and maybe having this, you know, being a victim of circumstances or being thrown in jail, not for the reasons that they that it's about truth, but it's about that you are cheap labor if you are in it. Have you ever considered that could be happening? So not all people who are in prison are necessarily evil or necessarily bad. They could be there because of abuse of power by the government. And if you find evidence of this kind of info, it's one of many different topics that I call a signal to wake people up. And wake up. When is it enough? I know if you talk about, for instance, this in the future, or the FDA, they're going to say that food supplements and minerals will be labeled as drugs, and they want to, there will be a world law, world regulations on food and food supplements and minerals and herbs, and they want to take that and make it illegal. Have you ever heard about that? It is happening. That is another form of abuse of power by those government puppets who are controlled by big corporations. And I wonder how many people know that government is controlled by big corporations. And if that is the case, the question is, is it the same tactics that what happened during the Second World War and for what the Nazis did? How came the Nazis to power? Is it because they just had enough votes, or was there a very big financiers and big corporations who were behind it to finance the war? And if that is the case, could it repeat it? Could that happen again? Of course it can happen again. And if you ask anyone at school who's studying what happened in the Second World War, the majority of them are not being taught of how it was financed, who were the people who were financing it, what were the gain for them. And so if that is the case, and it can happen again, then you have to look at, for instance, the documentary called The Corporation, And they show the evidence that the big corporation has an influence on the media, and the media are allowed to lie. For instance, there was a case on Fox, there was a case that people were investigating certain hormones being used and about milk and meat, and then they were trying to investigate a multinational, but the same multinational that they were investigating were actually the sponsors or the financiers of the program. Now that is interesting, or of the broadcasting company. So they get money from multinationals, and if you're critical against them, they can say, oh, if you want to be critical about us, you know, we take our money away from you and we will spend it someplace else. We're going to another broadcasting company. So there you go. The power of multinationals saying, oh, you are critical. And then there was a long battle going on to make this reportage, we call it in Dutch, report, media report of a crew of people doing investigations, and they had to change the text, and they had to change it so many times that the original text was too confrontational and too heavy for the public to swallow. If it's true, because there is a huge conspiracy on the background by multinationals about your what you buy in the shops, about your the milk and about the meat that you buy. And it turned out to be that they have to change it so many times, and they use certain lawyers to protect themselves. And then it turned out to be that they want to have a court case. They say, this is ridiculous. We have a right to be honest, and I don't want to lie because my superiors told me to change the topic, to change the content, and I don't do that. And then if they're going to be fired, they want to resist that they have a right to be fired because you don't want to lie. Now, if you are a reporter and you work for a media company and you resist and you reject to lie for them, they may never, ever fire you. That was the normal way to think, you know, that you think, I'm not have to lie for my big bosses. It's ridiculous. You know, we have freedom of speech, and we are kind of watchdogs for the democracy. You know, democracy needs watchdogs. How else can you vote? You know, your vote is based upon that what they give you on the information given to you. And if that information turns out to be lies, then what kind of democracy do you have? So the basis of a healthy democracy is that you have a healthy freedom of press. So the most people think that if you say no to your bosses, I don't want to lie, I don't want to change my text and my research because this is about health, this is about my children, this is about my family, this is about my friends having the same products, buying in the shops. And what happened is that they went to court. And you never know what the court decided. They decided that it was okay for the superiors or the masters of the media owners to demand that you have to lie. Think about that. Then you would say, is this just nuts? No, is that the land of the free? No, and I think that this judge that decided that it's okay to lie and that you have to do that for your masters and for your people giving you the job, and that they have the reason to fire you if you don't lie for them, you know, to the public, then what kind of world are you living in? And maybe that judge is being part of that same system. So if the system is going to be corrupt on almost every level, on the health level, on the educational level, on the media level, there's corruption and manipulation going on. I wonder what the gifted people will do. Are they just observing it and doing nothing about it? Are they just saying, oh no, I don't have to do anything about it. I just see it happening and it's their own fault. They choose to behave like that. We feed them. They have the power because we give them the power. You want to buy their products, so you support them. Think about that. So every time when you go to the Walmart, you support the system that is abusing power. And think about it. You pay taxes. So every time when you pay taxes, indirectly, you finance the madness that is unfolding in your eyes. Maybe I have to repeat that. You pay taxes, so indirectly, you are co-responsible for the madness that you see around you. Yeah, and I just wonder, what are the gifted people going to do about it? And I know that a lot of wonderful, gifted, paranormal gifted, or psychic people are being approached by the government to work for them. But not all. And I think that also insiders, those who are in place, the key people in place, they can also have a change of heart. They can also decide, I don't want this. I don't want to be responsible, co-responsible for this madness. I decide to release information that will hurt my bosses, but I don't care, because I think it is important people see the truth, that people know what's happening behind the scene. I think the biggest fear of the New World Order agenda, or the biggest fear of the puppet masters, is that the insiders are going to be touched or being triggered to change or to have an... And how can we reach out? How can we approach those who are in doubt? How can we reach them? It's not by saying to them that they are bad or that they are, without hope. You can also approach them that they are a victim of circumstances and that they can have a change of heart. And that they are actually a prison of their own thought cage or their own convictions. And it doesn't have to be like that. You can find each other and looking for alternative solutions. And one of the alternative solutions is, of course, suppressed inventions and suppressed cures and many, many other solutions are there. Hemp revolution. I hope sincerely that every teacher on this planet will Google hemp revolution documentary on Google Video. I will repeat, I hope that every teacher on this planet will take the effort to Google Video hemp revolution. It has nothing to do with having a marijuana or taking a smoke. It's nothing to do with that. Hemp revolution has to do with making plastics, making you can make paper with it. You can use it as a fuel. It can grow very fast. It can grow many times at the same place, and it is extremely simple. The only thing is that certain people in power don't like you to be free. They want you to be trapped in this treadmill, believing that there's no alternative. And if I have to choose of the over 1,000 documentaries that I have seen that is, in the last 17 years that I have been researching suppressed inventions, suppressed info, forbidden archaeology, hidden knowledge, hidden history, you name it, UFOs, aliens, Atlantis, everything which you're not supposed to know. If I have to say one documentary will be number one on my list to make people waking up that you don't have to feel powerless, that would be the Hemp Revolution documentary. And if you are able to download it on your hard drive, because you can do that, there is an option on Google Video that you are able to download the MP4 file and make it backup. Not only watching it, but make it backup. Put it on a DVD. Put it on an convert it that people can watch it on DVD. Show it to your friends. And you know what the beauty thing is about hemp revolution? It is not about complaining. It's not about feeling bad about things. No. It's actually doing the opposite. It's saying, wow, if this is true, oh my God. You see what I mean? You don't have to feel bad about this, to doing this. It's actually uplifting. And I know many people complaining about many things going bad, but I think that the majority of the politicians have to be deeply, deeply ashamed that they can talk with a straight face, talking about yeah, we have some environment problems. We need to do something. Maybe we need some more nuclear power stations. Or maybe we have to do something about the global warming. You know, all this BS is ridiculous. If you see, did they play dumb or they are dumb, what is worse? If they know that there's a good reason to make hemp illegal, because it wasn't illegal all the time, there was a time that they used hemp to use in hemp industry, which was called in the times that they need strong fibers to create parachutes and clothing, and so in war there was a hemp industry purely meant for making products for the war industry, for going to war against the Nazis. How many people know that? How many people know that the Declaration of Independence paper is made of hemp? How many people know that, that hemp is hemp seeds can solve the crises in Africa that you have now? In Africa, you see so many children die. You know, if you see all the so-called rich people on the planet wanting to do some good, look me, I'm spending money for the Africans and for the poor people in the world. But meanwhile, they don't want to discuss the hemp revolution. Now, that's interesting. Because the solution is there, and again, they play dumb, or they are dumb. And again, I have seen so many good, solid documentaries on many topics, on suppressed inventions, archaeology, UFOs, aliens, you name it. And one thing that I would recommend for people to do is please, please, please make a copy of Hemp Revolution on Google Video. Download it. Upload it again. You know, if you are able to make a backup copy on YouTube and on Google Video, do it. Because maybe it will take it away from the people and waking up. And then you come to the point, we don't have to feel powerless. And this is one example of suppressed solutions, I call it. And this can only happen if more and more people are waking up and more people saying from all this madness around us is happening because we let them. We give them the power away, and we can complain that this status quo is because of them. But then you have to realize they have that power because we give it to them. You see what I mean? So we can be very angry and upset, and we can feel bad in our stomachs, and we can feel very frustrated. But again, they are there because we giving it that power. You see what I mean? We let them decide our fate. We let them decide what is so-called good for us, and we trust that United Nations is in the hands of the good people. And there will be no so-called manipulation behind the scene by big corporations. No, that will not happen. I mean, smell the coffee, wake up. So it looks nice, the United Nations. It's a good idea, wonderful concept, you know, that we are in peace and that we have to solve the world problems and the need regulations to solve complex issues. But the majority of so-called regulations is actually serving the multinationals and serving the big corporations. So what the intent was of the United Nations was good. But what it became to be is the opposite. It became actually a tool to push their agenda even faster and to have more control over the masses. So, you know, it's kind of interesting that we think, oh, it's so beautiful. I see this beautiful blue flag with the symbol, with, you know, with all beautiful symbol of the earth, and then this, you know, you see that symbol and you think, wow, what a beautiful concept, and that all those nations are willing to communicate with each other. What a beautiful concept. Meanwhile, they're going to create regulations, global tax is coming, and do you really think they will stop there? Think about this question. Do you really think that they will stop with the global tax for the so-called global warming problem? Of course not. This is just the beginning. So it's like a government. They're becoming a government. A world government has nothing to do with serving the public. It has to do with serving the multinationals and big corporations, that they can actually have less trouble doing what they have to do, what they want to do. And it is abusing the earth, abusing people, cheap labor, like in prison camps, and having mind control techniques. It sounds overwhelming. It sounds like, oh my God, it is too big for me. I can do nothing about it. If you really believe that, then you already sold your soul to them. And I think the gifted people, the paranormal people, worldwide, and I'm not talking about America, I'm talking about all people on this planet, from China, from Africa, from Europe, Australia, they all have the power to say no. No, it can be different. We don't need you anymore. We do it our own way. And we're going to, but then it comes. Then you see the big corporations wants to make it illegal that you use hemp. And then you see there is a really true abuse of power. For instance, stevia is a beautiful example in Europe. They want to make it illegal as well. I think they already did. They make it illegal for you to buy stevia in the stores. No, you have to buy aspartame as an artificial sweetener, and that you, if you want to have a diet, the majority of people that see sugar-free, you have to be aware that sugar-free is even worse than taking sugar. How is that possible? I think I will tell it slowly. Anything that is sugar-free, anything, you have to watch on the package and look at it, and you see aspartame or other artificial sweeteners. And they're actually more poisonous to you than sugar itself. But the solution is simple. There is a solution. You just have to, I think it's very cheap, you buy some seeds of stevia, and you plant your own plants, and from this plant that has no side effects, you can do it in your coffee, or you do it in other things, and then there are no side effects, and you have 100 times sweeter than sugar. So that almost for everything that we see around us, on problems we have, there's a solution. I know that, for instance, people that take Prozac or that take Ritalin, there is a alternative for that too, you know? We call it Sint-Jans kruid, we call it in Dutch. But I know that people know that there is always an alternative, but the problem is, if they make the alternative illegal, then you see we are on a ridiculous planet, you know, and that can only be because we give them the power. And if more and more people are waking up that we're being fooled, including about the next step is to illegalize herbs, minerals, and vitamins. There's even there are tactics by the big corporations through the media to brainwash people that, if you take vitamins, it's bad for you. It's already happening, this campaign. To make people ready for that, there will be new legislation, new laws, that if you have herbs, minerals, or vitamins, it will be illegal in the future. They're working on it. And it will happen globally. Think about that. I know I sound like Alice Jones, but this is just the tip of a gigantic iceberg. And I know there are so much solutions, and the problem is that if you don't recognize the problem, how can you solve it? You see what I mean? First, you have to recognize we are giving our freedoms away. We give them the power to decide our fate, and is that what we want? So I think that if there's a chaos coming, and I feel that a lot of people know that there is a chaos coming. On purpose, they can create deliberately fake, temporary chaos. You know, that the dollar, the money system collapse. And then they have their way to change the laws. And anyone who wants to do good will be punished. And everyone who wants to do bad will be rewarded, because it's all in the name of survival. Survival of the fittest. Now, this is the law of the jungle. Now, when this is happening, you have to think at that moment when it is happening, were there enough signals that could be there to know this in advance? Were there enough people telling me that this is going to happen? do I have the time to co-create a different reality, to become more proactive? Could I have foreseen this, that this is going to happen? Could I done something 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago that I knew this is going to happen? Were there enough signals that the abuse of power by big corporations controlling the governments, and that the government are not representing us anymore, they're just puppets? Could I foresee this, that this is going to happen? And if you say yes, 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 then I ask you now, why is it that you're not educating your family, for instance, about this hemp revolution? Again, hemp has nothing to do with smoking marijuana, has nothing to do with drugs. It is just a very powerful plant that can grow into infinity on the same place. And it grows rapidly. And 1 acre of hemp can produce more paper than 1 acre of trees. Think about that. And then people saying, yeah, we have rainforest problems, rainforest. I wonder, or if the World Nature Fund and the Greenpeace Foundation and all those people that want to do something good for nature, I wonder if they are financed with the same puppet masters to keep the status quo as it is. You know, having this illusion, oh yeah, we have Greenpeace and we have all those good people fighting against injustice. So, you know what, I don't have to think about all those problems, you know. I will donate money to Greenpeace, so I don't have to think about it. They will think for me. Now, what if there are also a controlled opposition? Have you considered that? That it's possible that certain big movements like Greenpeace are actually controlled opposition? Have you considered that? If that is the case, that explains a lot. That explains why we have what we have. Because if the big, big, big networks are not addressing this, the hemp revolution, you have to question why. There are certain topics that you're not allowed to discuss in the media or with the big organizations. They don't want to discuss suppression of inventions. They don't want to discuss the role of secret societies and the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations and Telestial Commission. There is a good reason that certain topics and certain issues you're not allowed to discuss with big movement societies who are supposed to be the opposition. And if the if the Democrats are supposed to be the opposite of the Republicans, then you would say, now, if we're going to vote for the Democrats, everything is solved. But deep inside in your heart, you know it's not true. Because they are financed with the same people. So it doesn't matter what you vote. So what is left? If voting is not helping anything, what is left? It's what you buy in the shops. That is what's left. Because there's also a way of voting. So when you go to the shop and your Walmart and you buy, every time when you do that, you vote. You finance that. What it is, you finance your oppressor. You just have to Google every product that you buy and Google it from where is it from, who I'm supporting when I buy this product. Is there an alternative? If yes, then say to your friends, you don't need to buy that. But every time when you buy something in the store, you vote as well. Actually, that way of voting is much more powerful than what you do once in the 4 years, you know, that you have to vote for a politician. Now, think about yourself going to vote for someone, and you push the button, and that can also be rigged, can be manipulated. So you have these voting machines, computers, that can be manipulated and rigged. That has been proven, by the way, also in Holland and Netherlands. So even if you have the feeling, I do something, you know, I vote for that guy and he talks nice and he says things that I want to hear and it's all good. At that moment when you feel good about yourself voting for a person, think about it. That what you are doing is nothing compared what you can do if you go into the store. Have you ever considered that? It's up to you if you want to investigate what the hell are you financing, supporting. Again, we are financing and supporting the oppressors. And we do it every day when we go to the Walmart. And then we say, oh, we are powerless. We are powerless. Is that not ridiculous that we say that we are powerless? I think it's totally ridiculous. We have the power to change. We have the power to be educated what you buy. We have the power to do some education. We have the power to make DVDs about hemp revolution. We don't have to spread information of fear. I will say that slowly. We do not have to spread information of fear on DVDs. We can also spread information of solutions, suppressed inventions, hemp revolution, stevia. Actually, maybe it's good to make one big DVD with only solutions and make copies of it. And you know what people say? Yeah, but John, what about copyrights? You have to pay them. Now, if you give it away, if you don't earn money from it, that's one reason that they will not have a case against you. The other thing is, when we live in a state of emergency, they will say, yeah, there's a terrorist threat. Therefore, the privacy is not that important anymore. So don't complain about your privacy rights, because actually the state of emergency is so much bigger problem that the privacy problems is not that important anymore. Now, that kind of rhetoric we can also use when the media is failing us to inform what is really happening. So if you have a case, if you can prove to the world that the media is drastically failing us to inform us, then we live in a fake democracy. And if something is attacking our democracy, and what is one of the most important pillars of the democracy is, if you're going to vote, you have to be informed what you're voting on. You know what I mean? So if you are going to do the elections, you have to know what you're actually doing. And who is responsible that you're educated about it, what you're voting for? That is the media. And if the media fails, then we have no democracy anymore. You see the connection? So there's a big connection between media and having a true democracy. If the media fails, there's no democracy anymore, because what the hell are you voting for then? You see what I mean? If it's all a bunch of lies and manipulation on television, then why are you voting in the first place? And what is it based upon? Have you done some research? So the majority will be agree with me if we live in a state of information emergency. The same rhetoric that they use to take away our privacy rights, we can say we can take away the copyright rights away. You see what I mean? Because the information should be available for the masses. So you have your case. I can make a case that certain information should be in the hands of the masses, so that we can actually make different decisions. So our fate is connected with how much is available of the right information. And if it's not happening, then we live in a state of information emergency. So I use the same argument, the same rhetoric that the government is using for them having the right to take away our privacy rights. Is there a connection between inventions and our reality? I think so. You know, there was a time there was no wheel. Somebody thought about it. Hey, let's make a wheel. And that person that made that wheel saw how beneficial it is and why it's nice to have a car, a wooden car, with a horse, and then you can do something with it. And another person sees that and say, hey, that's interesting. I'm going to do that too. I'm going to make that too. I'm going to produce also, and so forth. So there is a relationship between how we perceive reality and the inventors on this planet. There was a time there was no buckle, that you have to buckle up in your car. There was a time there was no helmet for on your bicycle, for on your moped or motor. So if that is the case, there is a relationship between lawmaking, inventions, and safety, and our right to know how we can protect ourselves. Now, let's say that there is an inventor of something that can help us to save lives, and let's say that this can save lives, that someone take that away from us, that someone took that invention away from us and has, you know, this multinational spend a lot of money, not that we are not able to use it. Would that multinational not be how do you say this? Would we not be a criminal or something like that? Can it not be held accountable for taking away solutions? You see what I'm getting at? So again, there's a connection between inventors. Then when the invention comes to the market, then the government says, hey, this should be a law that people need to put it on their heads. In the Netherlands, we have this law that we have, it is mandatory that we have to take this helmet on when we use a motor, a bicycle, you know, whatever. So there is a connection between protecting yourself, inventions, and law. And if someone is taking away that from us, then it should be guilty. It should be punished. So, and I think I make sense. So if I'm going to go to European Parliament in 2009, there should be a law that protects the inventor for being abused by multinationals. And I think I make sense. And if there are secret societies and big corporations that are influencing the laws and to protect them, and also taking away certain revolutionary inventions away from us so that we still are slaves and unnecessary, then they have to be held accountable. They have to be put to justice. So there must be a law, again, think about it, there should be a law that protects the inventor, that it will not be abused by big corporations or multinationals. Do I make sense? And I wonder, can you give me one name of a politician that will speak out loud that this is true? And John Peters from the Netherlands makes sense. I think I make sense. And there is a connection with how we perceive reality and inventors. If there are so many inventions being suppressed, for instance, you have this light bulb that can glow forever, but it will not be sold. You have a wheel, car tire that will not wear out, that can you can use it indefinitely. Then you have a car engine running on water using certain frequencies. Then we have Nikola Tesla free energy devices. Just go to top100energy.com. I will speak it slowly. Go to top100energy.com. top100energy.com, and there you see enough suppressed inventions. Now, again, is there a connection? How we perceive reality and being a victim of this so-called reality, having not access to those suppressed inventions? I think there is a connection. So do we need to feel powerless? Nope. Do we need to complain? Sometimes we do, but sometimes you don't. You know, you can, again, you... how much time do you think you need to go to Google Video, and type in H-E from Edward, M, and then P. H-E from Edward, M from Maria, and then P from police. H-E-M-P. Now, when you type in that hemp revolution on Google Video, how much effort does it take for you to do that and to watch it? And then decide, hey, I'm going to burn it on a CD-ROM, or I burn it on a DVD, and I share it for free with friends. Or I ask them to look on Google Video as well. And maybe you have a website. Put it on your website. Please look at Hemp Revolution. You see, we don't have to complain only complain. We can also actually help each other to see positive information that is available. There is solid, good, positive information available. And we don't have to feel powerless. That's the biggest energy that we need to have, that we can complain into infinity, but at the end, it is what we do with it that counts. You know, you can have all the wisdom and all the knowledge on this planet, but what you do with it, that is what counts at the end. And I see so many people hungry for new confrontational information that makes it even worse than we know before. And then it's like we are addicted to be confronted with the New World Order agenda, and we are actually wanting to know more and more until to the point that we are so zombified of fear, and fear-based thinking doesn't solve anything. So anyone who listens to Infowars.com has to know that it's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is that you do something with it. If you only want to absorb overwhelming confrontational information, that is not healthy. Again, that is not healthy. You have to have a feeling, okay, I know it's happening. What am I going to do with it? And it's the same with paranormal and gifted people and high sensitive people. What are you going to do? Going to watch it and say, oh, I'm not into that. Oh, I don't believe in that. I think it's all rubbish. Or do you know deep inside in your heart that we don't have to be victims? We don't have to let it happen. Again, they have only power because we give it to them. So I'm going to round it up. It's almost the end of the hour. I hope you you will find the inspired to think different towards information that is extremely confrontational, and that you don't have to fear it. Actually, it will push